Well, I am a father, and I'm human, so I'm not perfect as a father. But even those of us fathers who are human want the best for our children. We love to see our children promoted and increased so that their life can be even better than ours has been. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. If we feel that way about our children, how much more does the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father, have our promotion and our increase in mind for all of His children? Today I'm talking about promotion and our preparing for the next level. God's not going to leave you where you are. He has more for all of us than what we've yet received. And He saves His best for last. So the days ahead are filled with hope. And we're excited about that. Now, of course, the go-to verse is Psalm 97, verses 6 and 7. And it says this, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south." Now, when I hear the directions, I think of a weatherman or a weather lady on television. Usually, when they talk about the directions, they're talking about the way the wind is blowing. So far, in my interpretation of this one verse, the promotion of God does not come with the wind, just any which way the wind may be blowing on any given day. Our promotion is not a random thing like the blowing of the wind that changes directions. The next verse says, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and He setteth up another." Now, God is the one who is ultimately behind promotion and demotion. The definition of the word promotion is the act of being raised in position or rank. I think that's the heartbeat of God for all of us, all of His children. He wants to raise us up to a higher level, a higher position, a higher rank in the kingdom. That's what He has for all of us. We're going to look at a few ways that promotion that comes from God actually works in our life. Now, there is one of my favorite Old Testament characters, Joseph. We know him so well. We began learning about Joseph as children in Sunday school or in kids' church. And here was a young man who had destiny all over his life. Even as a young teenager, he knew God had great things for him. But he had to suffer through years of abuse, even betrayal by his brothers. And he had every right to carry a chip on his shoulder for the rest of his life. Some of you think, well, I would qualify for that. You have no idea what I've been through. I have a right to carry a chip for the rest of my life. Part of the abuse Joseph suffered was he was sold just like a slave would be sold. And he was bought by a man named Potiphar, who was a high-ranking official in Pharaoh's army. Now, here's a man who had, at this point in his life, nothing going for him. Every dream he had seemed to be shattered, or at least on hold. He saw nothing to confirm that God had a special purpose for his life. And yet, here's how promotion came to Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." He was behind enemy lines. He was a slave in enemy territory, but the promotion of the Lord began in his life with the simple phrase, "The Lord was with him." Let me ask you, whatever your agenda is, whatever you're doing right now, whatever work you are working for the kingdom of God, Can you say for sure that the Lord is with you? That the Lord is in agreement with you? If so, you'll be successful at it, and the promotion of the Lord always follows those that the Lord is with. The next verse, or verse 4 says, so Joseph found favor in his sight, his master's sight, and served him. And then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under Joseph's authority. Now we see quick promotion, but it begins when the Lord was with Joseph. Now, you may be on an island, so to speak. You may think that you're out where nobody knows what's going on with you. You may feel overlooked. You may feel like you are working right now, like a slave behind enemy lines. Nothing going your way right now according to the plan you have. But if you can begin by saying, but the Lord is with me here. The Lord is with me. Then promotion is on the way. If the Lord is with you, his favor will bring promotion to your life. Now, there have been things I've endeavored to do. I questioned, well, I'm not sure if the Lord's in this or not. I've even faced that crisis a time or two. You probably have too, where, God, I don't know if this is God or the devil. Have you ever been in a place like that? You don't have to say. You can keep it to yourself. But I remember the Lord being with me at a few strategic times in my life. And one was 35 plus years ago when we had moved from California, Brenda and I, and we only had one daughter at the time, Brandy. She was 5. And we moved to Florence to start a church. And first order of business, we needed to find a building to house our church. And we didn't have a nice building like this then, and we owned nothing, had no congregation, and had no money. We were starting with nothing but a word from God. I remember driving by a building that had been empty for a year and a half. It had been a church building. But that congregation had bought new property and built a nicer building, and this older church building sat empty for a year and a half with a for sale sign in the front yard. And I remember looking at that building and saying, what a blessing it would be if we could start our church in this building. I didn't act immediately on it. I waited a few weeks. We had other things to do as well. And the day came when I called the number on the sign. And the pastor of that church answered. And I said, my name is, you know what? I'm living in Florence now, just moved from California. I have come to start a church, and I'd like to talk to you about the possibility of renting your old church property to start our new church in. And this pastor said to me, and now he's flourishing, he's in a new season, he has a brand new church building on another side of town, and they're growing, and the building I'm interested in was empty for a year and a half for sale, and nobody had bought it. I told him we wanted to rent it to start a church. He was silent for a while and heard me out. And then he said, Carl, that building has been for sale for a year and a half. Our church board met after we vacated that property and decided that we would not rent it to anyone. We knew there would be people asking to rent it, but our decision as a board was to answer every inquiry like this. The church is not for rent, it's for sale. And he said, in the last year and a half, we have had 30 people calling asking to rent the building. And we've said no to every one of them. He said, but it's interesting you call me today because 2 days ago we got a call from our insurance company, and they said they were going to drop all insurance coverage on that property unless we get a tenant in it within 30 days. And he said, Carl, you would be doing us a favor to rent that building from us. And I knew the Lord was with me. And promotion followed. Now, please don't think I'm a saint. Some of you know. I'm not quite there yet. There have been other times I've wondered, God, are you really with me in this or not? But in those situations in your life when you know that the Lord is with you, you can expect the favor of God to rest on you and the promotion of the Lord to kick in and prepare you for the next level in the next season of your life. And that's what happened in the life of Jesus. He modeled this pattern for us. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it said that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. In other words, he grew naturally and he grew mentally. And he grew in favor, listen to this, favor with God and with men. Now that's the order. Favor with God comes first, and if the Lord is with you and his favor is on your life, then that will be followed by the favor with men. Somebody say amen up in here. All right, you are awake out there this morning. Promotion and increase come with growth and maturity. It should be the natural and it should be the spiritual development for the children of God. And we get back to the parable of the talents. It drives this point home where a master selected three servants. And this one master, a wealthy man, entrusted to three different servants different amounts of money. And the Bible says the master invested or entrusted the money to these three servants based on their ability. Look at what's in your hand. God has entrusted that to you. He is trusting your ability to do something good with what he's already placed in your hand. And of the three servants in this parable, the master gave one servant 5 talents. That was a huge amount of money. To the other servant, he gave only 2 talents according to his ability. And then finally, to the third servant, he gave only 1 talent, a much smaller amount of money, according to his own ability. Now, 2 of these servants were faithful and were promoted because of their faithfulness. So promotion and increase follow faithfulness as a pattern in our life. In Matthew 25 and verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, how we long to hear those words, good and faithful. Many funerals quote this verse, how that a faithful man or woman who's now gone home to be with the Lord, if they have a testimony of faithfulness, a lot of times this verse is spoken at their memorial service. They have finally heard their master say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler. Here's promotion. You were faithful over a few things. And because of your faithfulness over that smaller amount, now I'm going to promote you and give increase to you. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, 2 of the 3 servants heard that, good and faithful. I'm going to promote you and give increase to you. I'm going to increase the authority of God in your life. You're going to be a ruler now over much more than you've ever had before, simply because you have proven to be a good and faithful servant. But now, 1 of the 3 servants was not good and faithful. In Matthew 25 and verse 26, it says, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant.'" How about that? Good and faithful versus wicked and lazy. "Well, but Master, I'm not wicked, but you're lazy." Matthew 25 and verse 30, "And he cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, that was a demotion right there, a demotion that came as a direct result of unfaithfulness, unfaithful stewardship over what God has given you. Now, if we want to be promoted and increased in the authority of God, then we've got to be proven good and faithful, not wicked and lazy. This was demotion, and demotion follows those who are not faithful. But instead of being good and faithful, they're wicked and lazy. Another example from the Old Testament has to do with a prophet, Elisha. Now, everybody knows that Elisha was being mentored for most of his adult life by the prophet of God that was before him, Elijah. And Elijah was a powerful man of God. He could stop the sky from raining just by praying. He could speak a prophetic word and open the skies again and cause rain to fall. He could even pray fire down from heaven. And this one man overthrew 850 false prophets in one day when he prayed fire from heaven. A beautiful Bible story there about the powerful man Elijah. But during much of these years, Elijah, the great prophet, had an underling, an intern that God had called to his side, a younger man. His name was Elisha. And Elisha was a faithful servant. And Elisha's promotion in the Lord was epic and historic. He served his mentor, Elijah, and he never left Elijah's side. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 2. And just as the Lord was about to call Elijah home into heaven, Elijah said this to Elisha, the younger man who had been his servant all of his life. He said, "Stay here, Elisha. Stay here. The Lord is calling me on to Bethel." And Elisha, the younger man who was a faithful servant, said, "As the Lord lives, and as long as you're alive, I will not leave you." And then it happened the second time as they went a little further. Elijah said to his servant, his faithful servant Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord is calling me on to Jericho." And Elisha said, "No way, not on your life. As long as you're alive, I will not leave you." And then it happened again the third time. Elijah, the older man, about to go to heaven, said to his faithful servant, "Elisha, you stay here. God has called me to cross this Jordan River." And again, the third time, that faithful servant, Elisha, said, "As long as you're alive, I'm not leaving your side." And he didn't. And so they get to the banks of the Jordan River, and God is calling Elijah over the river. And Elijah takes his cloak or his mantle, and he waves it over the water, and the waters part, and the two of them walk over together. Both arrived together on the other side. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha." Now, by now, this faithful servant had proven that he was going to be faithful to the uttermost and never leave. as long as there was a breath in Elijah's body. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." Now, I call that a promotion. I call that an increase. And how did he get it? By being faithful. By being faithful and refusing to be unfaithful and to walk away at any point. Now, that was asking a hard thing. In fact, Elijah said, "You're asking for a difficult thing. And there's only one way that can happen, and that is if you are with me until I leave. If you're with me and you see me leave for heaven, then your request will be granted." And so that's the way it happened. And the Bible goes on to record that Elisha, the younger man who was faithful, performed twice as many miracles as Elijah had performed. He had been a faithful servant. There's something about a faithful man or a faithful woman that gets God's attention, and he aligns them for increase and promotion. It's faithfulness that does it. And now I'm going to spend just a few minutes in closing about one other way that God promotes his people. And this one is not fun, but it's true. It's happened in your life. Perhaps you didn't see it that way, but if you'll take a second look, a closer look, you can see how God sometimes uses an enemy to promote his people. Now, don't get me wrong. Promotion comes from God. It doesn't come from whichever way the wind is blowing, the east or the west or the south. It's not a random thing. Promotion comes from God. God is the one who lifts up someone and promotes them. He's also the one who will pull somebody else down and demote them. But even though promotion comes from God, sometimes he will use an enemy to promote us. And that's not our favorite way of being promoted. Being promoted by an enemy. Just think of that. Promoted by an enemy. Here's the bottom line of that. Goliath was not sent to defeat David, but to promote David. If it had not been for that giant Goliath that had the entire army of Israel trembling in their boots, we would never have heard of David. All he was at that time was the youngest son who kept sheep for his daddy. He would probably have lived on the back 40 pasture, taking care of those sheep, like so many people in his day did, until the day he died, even if he lived to be an old man. But all of that began to change when an enemy was sent out against God's people. And God promoted David by using an enemy. Hey, listen, God will even... Well, I don't know. That's just too much theology right there, and I don't say everything just right. But I started just say God will even use the devil to promote somebody. Well, I believe he will. Who's greater, the devil or God? Who's smarter, the devil or God? Who loves us more? God. Who has our best interest in mind? And even though the devil may mean something for harm, God will take that very thing the enemy sends your way and turn it around for your good. I'll just read a few sentences in this book. I've had this book for a while, and I hate to even show it because you might go buy it, and I don't want to cause a run. I don't want to cause the bookstores and Barnes & Noble and Amazon and But I will tell you, I'll give this man credit. Ron Carpenter Jr., he pastors a great church in Greenville, South Carolina, a mega church. And he wrote a book about 10 years ago called The Necessity of an Enemy. And the title intrigued me, so I bought it and I have read it. And I'll just share a few things he said. I'll give him credit. And I don't need any more of these books, so don't go buy me any of these books now. One is all I need. How the battle you face is your best opportunity. Adversity repositions us for a greater event to take place in our life. God always uses adversity for our advantage. I'll just read some that stood out to me. I could act like this was mine originally, but I believe in giving credit to people who deserve it. Enemies are the people, the mindsets, the weaknesses, the circumstances in your life that try to destroy God's purpose and plans for you. We need to understand the reason for enemies. And then he said this, you will never be an exceptional person if you fight only ordinary battles. Adversity. Sometimes God sends it. Now, that may ruffle some feathers, but he wraps it up with a prettier bow by saying this, and even if he doesn't, he still uses it. I believe that. He quotes Paul in 1 Corinthians, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. It seems that the two come together, adversity and opportunity. There's a reason, in fact, a necessity to have an enemy like David had Goliath. And Ron Carpenter says, the arrival of an enemy in your life is a sign that this present season is finally coming to an end. God often assigns an enemy as a catalyst for you to exit one season and enter another. He said, enemies are indicators that God is planning movement in your life. And he says this, I can't argue with it. In the life of many great Bible heroes, it was a great enemy that catapulted them to go to a great place and multiply their influence. Goliath is the one who took David from obscurity to notoriety, from being a shepherd boy to being the great king of Israel. An enemy is any circumstance that threatens the completion of God's purpose for your life. And until Jesus comes back, we're all living behind enemy lines. And then he told a personal story, a testimony of how this principle worked in his life, and he ended it by saying, I needed an enemy to blast me out of my comfort zone. He said, we will have enemies as long as God has enemies. Am I making sense? It's deep, I realize, and it's Sunday morning. but I think this can be helpful. And then I will close by quoting him this. He said, so whenever I see something or someone that stands in the way of the mandates of God's purpose on my life, I identify them as enemies that I must engage. Ultimately, the battle will be the Lord's, and when it's over, these enemies will be my footstool. And of course, that comes straight from Scripture. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The promotion of the Lord. We're being prepared for a next level. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody.